And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Ruskin and Mickey Brennan. Well, Davey, the sun is still shining out there. I've got all the windows closed. I've got all the curtains closed. But it's that sunny. I'm still wearing my shades.
Sporting a nice colour there, Mickey, as well. I'm getting a few rays over the weekend.
I'm taking a leaf out of your book, or I'm taking a dribble out of your bottle. Let's just say it's a fake tan, Davey.
I've got all the marks on that to show mine off. This, you'll see that.
He's got the guns out, everybody. He's got the guns out.
Good first weekend's tanning there, Mickey. I'm happy with the base, so we can move from here.
Yeah, have you any holidays booked?
I've got a holiday at the end of August, and I've got the customary Galway races for all the footballers in Meath.
Holiday at the end of August? During Championship?
It's not clashing with anything, so no, it's all good.
You hope. It's absolutely incredible. Yeah, exactly. Incredible weather, incredible weekend for Meath. That we'll get to all that in a moment, but it was soured on Sunday evening, Davey, when we heard of the resignation of Davey Nelson from the Meath Ladies. I only spoke to him last week after Meath's defeat to Dublin in the Leinster final played down in Portlaoise. And he was a very upset man about the way the game went, and he's so passionate and the whole lot. I didn't see this coming, though. But then, as the week progressed, different things were happening. And, you know, it's been left that Davey has vacated the position.
Yeah, Davey's vacated the position. And I'm not sure Davey had much other option but to do that. Because the one thing, and I don't know the ins and outs of it, Mickey, I don't think too many people do, so we can't speculate. But I know one thing, and I know that Davey Nelson is an acquitter. And I know that he wouldn't have walked away, you know, if he felt there was still a job to be done, or he could, you know, do a job with them or whatever the case may be. We do know that Mark Brennan stepped aside in the week, and I suppose that would have triggered everything that happened thereafter. Very disappointing. Timing is shocking, really, you know, because it's pretty much on the eve of the Championship start with Meath defending their back-to-back All-Ireland crowns. And the only saving grace, I think, is that they're not out in the first round. We only talked about it last week. They have a bye in the first round, which gives them another week. And by that, I mean another week to get in a replacement. And sorry, this isn't a thing that there's somebody absolutely lined up to come in and take Davey's position. That's not the case at all. But it's poor timing. And it's a shame for Davey, because I think with time and resources and the ability to kind of come up with his own ideas and strategy and everything like that, this potentially could have been a success, but now we know it's not going to be, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, the statement released from the Meath LGFA goes as follows. With regret, Meath LGFA announced that the county senior management will not be taking the team forward to the TG Carr All-Ireland Series Group B games against Waterford and Donegal. County Board wish to place on record our sincere gratitude to manager Davey Nelson, head coach Mark Brennan, and the entire coaching and backroom team for their commitment and work during the 2023 season. Signed off at Meath LGFA. Very short, very sweet. And, you know, I suppose the County Board were left in a predicament as well. And I'm sure they didn't want to see this happening either.
No, absolutely not. But again, they're probably they had no option but to obviously go along with Davy's resignation and everything else that went along with it, with Mark Brennan and the rest of the coaching team. And it leaves them in a predicament that they need to find a replacement ASAP, because the championship for me is less than 3 weeks away now. And obviously this isn't ideal. I think looking ahead, we can speculate as to who might take it, but I think what the team needs now is they need somebody that they, I suppose, that knows the team, that knows they know, that possibly can come in and take this thing on for the however long it goes on. They have a minimum of 3 games and a maximum possibly of 6 games, and let's hope it's the latter. But there's a lot of work to be done in the meantime, and not a whole pile of time to do it.
Yeah, it's a really silly move, I suppose. In that, like, it's such a short time, 3 weeks until, as you said, the Meath team take the field against Waterford in that away opening round game at 1:30 on the Sunday afternoon. And it's just throws the whole thing into disarray. It's really, really disappointing. Like, and as you said at the outset, Davy Nelson just doesn't walk away from teams. That's not what he does. And you said as well that he was left with no other option but to walk away. And it just feels like he's been sold a pup. Yeah.
And he's the one I really feel for this behind it all, because he was left with no other option but to step aside, really. And it's a shame, a man of his experience, all that he's achieved, all that he's won in the game. And on the back of obviously what went on, you know, in the last couple of years, I think the person, whether it was Davy or somebody else who came in after Eamon Murray and his management team, needed time. Like, and they probably needed to put their own stamp on it. I never felt Davy got the opportunity to do that with this team. You could have looked at any of the games and you would know by looking at them that there was no Davy Nelson stamp on that team, you know. Because we know his track records with clubs and right throughout different counties and that, and there was something clearly missing, and I'm sure you probably seen it last week. They have looked completely subdued. They haven't looked themselves. Even the likes of Vicky been back, Emma Duggan been back, Orla Lally been back. That hasn't given them the injection that we hoped it would, and it leaves them in serious disarray going into the start of the championship in a couple of weeks' time.
Well, I said it after the game last week. It was more of the same from Meath, as in we got exactly the same style of football that they've played for the last couple of years. And I said to you as well in the podcast that maybe teams had started to figure out ways of dealing with the way Meath play, and, you know, that they needed to change something. And I would have expected Davy to go in there and put his own stamp on it, as you said, but didn't seem to have his own stamp on it. I suppose it all was triggered off by Mark Brennan walking away from the management team earlier in the week. And again, you know, it's disappointing to see a man who's been involved with that team for the last number of years walking away at such a stage as well. Now, we don't know the ins and outs of why he walked away, but he did step away earlier in the week.
Yeah, and he was the last piece of the jigsaw from the previous regime or the previous team. So there's absolutely no link between the management and the management of, say, the double or the treble winning All-Ireland teams and what's going to be there now, which is a real shame. I'm sure Mark had his reasons, but that, you're right, probably triggered the start of the collapse, if you will, you know. And I think the dogs in the street knew after, probably knew before the Leinster final, but definitely knew after it, that things needed to change in terms of how Meath played, because not just, I suppose, the staleness, but like teams had sussed Meath out, and Meath needed to find another way of playing. And by that, Mickey, I don't mean they needed to completely abandon what's been so successful for them over the last
year. They didn't need to reinvent the wheel,
they just need to tweak it and find something that gives them a little bit more of an attacking dimension. And by the way, I still think that needs to happen regardless of who or what comes in.
Yeah.
That absolutely does. But it needed to happen after the Leinster final. I would have liked to have seen Davy being the man to kind of make that change or make that tweak and possibly see where it takes Meath, because being frank about it, I think they've averaged 8 or 9 points, 10 points max in games. They're two wins all season. One came against the poor Leash side in the Leicester Championship. The other one came in the league against a Donegal side with a fluky goal by Mary Kate Lynch. I hope she doesn't mind me saying that, but that's where you're at. So clearly it wasn't working. It needed change. And for whatever reason, that didn't materialise. And now it's a big, big mess, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. We hope they can get things sorted in the interim and get things up and going again. We want to thank Davey for his time throughout the year. We want to wish him the very best of luck in whatever he goes on to do after this. I know it's going to cut him and hurt him deeply that he had to walk away from that team, because as you said, that's not Davey's style. And I'm just gutted for the man, really am. And I think that there's something wrong in there when Davey Nelson is walking away. But look, we might find out more of the details of what happened over the next coming weeks. But as it is, Davey Nelson has had to step away as manager of the Mead Ladies football team. So best of luck to Davey. And yeah, we'll just leave it at that. We'll move on. And if we hear anything else over the coming weeks, anything official from the Mead County Board, the ladies and whatever, we will bring it to you here on We Are Mead.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
We'll move on to some of the positives from the weekend. And we start on Saturday afternoon in Parnell Park. And it was a case of Paradise City for Meath on the weekend, because the Meath hurlers and the Meath footballers were playing in Dublin on the weekend. And it started at 1 p.m. on Saturday in Parnell Park, as I said. And Meath came away with a victory against Down, 111-109. A little bit of vengeance for 1991, Davey.
Yeah, a small crumb of it, Mickey. Geez, you would have been a brave man to ask Colin O'Rourke about that afterwards. But
that would have been the question I would have been straight away asking him. I would have said, "Is that make up for 91 at all, Colin?" But
one thing he did say after the game was that afterwards it was like the 80s again with all the supporters out onto the pitch, which was fantastic to see. The only disappointing thing was the fact that there was a game at 3 o'clock. And poor Leash in London were trying to warm up, and there was Meath supporters everywhere on the pitch. And the stewards, who were completely anonymous up to that, clearly, because the pitch invasion was allowed to happen in the first place, finally woke up and tried to clear the pitch before the 3 o'clock throw-in. But it was nice to see.
Did they go to plan B, no?
That was the first time we heard the PA system working all day. There was no mention of substitutes or teams or anthems or anything like that. But suddenly when the pitch needed to be cleared, it came to life. But listen, it was great to see. And it was definitely the biggest or the best win of Colm O'Rourke's short tenure so far, for absolute sure. It was a game that we felt was going to be an excellent barometer as to where Meath were at and where potentially they could get to this year. And the evidence of it, yeah, there were times where they rolled their luck and stuff like that. But I felt it was a really hard-earned victory. And really impressed by the way in which they seen Down off in the end. Like the possession football for the last 2 or 3 minutes, it was heart stopping at times, but it was really welcome to see from a Meath supporter standpoint, because how many times have we seen Meath in the past defend a 1 or 2 point lead, you know, not really knowing what to do, maybe going for a score, getting caught, and, you know, Donegal and Tyrone are two that spring to mind straight away. Obviously, better quality opposition. But it was brilliant to see, and the composure that they showed in that to hang on. And it was a vital win because it tops the group, gets them home quarter final, and gets them an extra week, which I think was beneficial after a really tough game on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we will be doing a full match review over on our Loyal Royals podcast. It's Patreon.com/ We Are Meath, with interviews with Colm O'Rourke and Ballinabraki's Sean Coffey. We also had the Match Day Diary, a brilliant Match Day Diary it was too, Davey. We had a number of contributors, yourself, Fergal Lynch, Robert Purfield, Shane Mangan, the Dundery Massives as well on their way up to follow Sean Brennan and the Hurlers up in Crow Park. It's a really good one. Get over and have a listen to that one. But we will have full match review of the Meath versus Down on Patreon.com/ We Are Meath. And we'll have a full review of the Christy Ring final where Shorsha Bolton's men came away with a 2-point victory. This was at 5 p.m. after the game in Parnell Park. You made your way up to Crow Park. A lot of the Meath supporters made their way up to Crow Park as well for that Christy Ring final at 5 o'clock. Meath 1-23. Derry 1-21, a 2-point victory for Meath. And, you know, 5 minutes into the second half, I think it was, Davey, Meath were leading by 13 points in this game. And it was a case of hand them the trophy. But it wasn't to be like that. So it wasn't for the last 20, 25 minutes of the game.
No, it was all hands to the pump in the closing stages. Listen, I know you don't ever expect to win finals that easy. So even in a position where they were 12 or 13 points up early in the second half, you never felt like it was going to finish like that. I don't know why, because finals generally don't go like that. And this was expected to be tight. And credit to Derry for the way in which they came back. Now, Meath, it was like everything was going against them. They literally could not hang on to their puckouts. They were giving away frees. O'Doherty was putting them over at his ease. And it was just, they were just gradually, bit by bit, eating into that Meath lead after Nicky Potterton's terrific goal early in the second half. And it took a couple of clutch Jack Regan frees towards the latter stages to get Meath over the line and spark wild scenes of celebration and a lot of relief, I would say, was the overriding emotion at the final whistle. Because for 40 minutes, Mickey, they played some of the best stuff we've probably seen from a Meath hurling team, I would say nearly ever. But somehow they still ended up being absolutely clinging on at the latter stages, but they just about did enough, thankfully.
The referee nearly took centre stage in the second half. It was like every breath he took, he was blowing it into the whistle.
Yeah, and his hand was always only pointing in the one direction as well. But listen, towards the end, Meath did win a couple of big frees. I'm just thinking Adam Gannon won a huge run out around the middle. Mark O'Sullivan inside won a couple of great balls as well. And that was the difference. The bit of experience that Meath had maybe to come on, you know, in the end with the likes of Gannon and Mark O'Sullivan and fellas like that was telling. And it was a great win. And great to see a huge Meath crowd there and a terrific atmosphere generated by them as well.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. We're delighted for Shorsha and all the lads. And again, full review of that over on our Patreon service. It's the Loyal Royals podcast on Patreon.com/ We Are Meath. We have interviews with Shorsha Bolton and Jack Flynn after that historic victory for Meath in the Christy Ring, the third Christy Ring Cup that Meath have lifted. And they'll be going back to the Joe McDonough for 2024. Davey, again, another team sparking wild celebrations this weekend were the men from Wolf Tones. They obviously were dragging lads out of the houses to get them down to the Comortas Pell, the Gaeltacht, because they won it for the second time in 5 years. And, you know, it's if I'm not mistaken, did they win the senior championship the year that they won the Comortas Pell and the Gaeltacht?
No, I think 2018. Was that not Dunboyne? Did Dunboyne not win
in 2018? It was Dunboyne, yeah, that's right, yeah.
But hell of an achievement. I watched the game on Sunday evening and against Nave Connell of Donegal, and it was a hard-hitting, tough fight, hard-hitting game of football, and one that you always felt Wolf Tones were going to grind out because it was the most Wolf Tones kind of performance or game ever to be involved in. But hats off to them because at times they were clinging on. did well to get to extra time. Fearco Ward got the first goal. And then in extra time, it looked like Niamh Connell had the jump on them. Wolftones were down to 14 men. Brúchan O'Finnegan got a black card. But then Fearco Ward struck for his second goal. A lovely flick into the back of the net from a, I think it was an Oisín Martin ball in, or could have been a ball in from Caelan Ward. I'm not sure which. And again, they just conjured up enough scores to get over the line in the end. Hell of a victory. Like, they had a, obviously a very long weekend. They had games over the weekend against Rinn of Waterford, Clannagail, Leas Pohl, and then they had a semi-final against Kilnamarta as well. So a long old weekend, and they used a whole pile of players. They didn't have Keane Ward available for selection too, so he was obviously a massive miss. But the likes of Saran O'Finnegan, Adam O'Neill, Colm O'Rourke probably deserves credit for this as well, allowed to play in the final, having played for Meath the other day too, which was nice to see. And it's something that I've kind of figured that Colm is very open to his players playing for their clubs and, you know, letting them off when the chance presents themselves. So that was great to see. And also word for the Wolftones ladies, Mickey. They made history competing in their first ever Comortis. But unfortunately, they lost out to last year's winners, a very strong Michael Brahnox of Galway in the junior. Clannagail ladies started today, and they had a decent run too. But it sounded like a fantastic weekend up there, and I hope Wolftones aren't out Tuesday night. That's all I'll say in the A-Leagues. I hope they've got a bit of grace until Thursday, because they'll need it.
Yeah, well, we get to those later on, so we will. But Leas Pohl, that's Liz Pohl, just outside on Dangan, outside Dingle. Lovely spot down there in Kerry, so lovely little Gaeltacht area down there. So I know that area well myself, but they got the victory over them as well. So well done to the Wolftones, lifting the Comortis Pell and the Gaeltacht for the second time in 5 years. They won it in 2018. It's only been played four times since 2018, obviously due to COVID. So you know, it's probably two in 4 years, really, in four seasons.
Exactly. Yeah, unbelievable. And they, look, in fairness to them, like they do with everything, they always give it their utmost and they bring the best, you know, possible squad that they can. And yeah, brilliant for them. Brilliant for Paddy Martin as well. A bit of silverware, maybe. Because their season hasn't been great up to now, Mickey. Maybe that's the kickstart that they need now with Championship just on the horizon.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Some fixtures to bring to our listeners. The Camogues are out on Saturday in Causeway in Kerry. It's near Tralee. It's a 3.5-4 hour journey down to Causeway in Kerry. 3 p.m. throw-in for the Camogues. And they obviously have a victory already, topping their table. At the moment, they have Kerry away and they have Westmead away 2 weeks later. The referee for that game is Joe Mullins. Davey, this is a massive one. They've played them twice already this year. Only a puck of a ball between them in both of those cases. Skeen would absolutely love to get one over Kerry at this stage.
I think they're due one over them as well. I suppose the one thing we know is it's going to be incredibly tight. And the only issue is this is the first of the three games that are going to be in Kerry's backyard. So it's probably going to be a little bit harder than it was in the previous two. But they had a terrific win over Laois, obviously, a couple of weeks ago. Big scores put up, and they'll go down there in great confidence. And I think they'll really embrace the challenge. But it's going to be a very difficult game. And they're going to be two of the big hitters going forward in this intermediate championship. So it's going to be an excellent barometer as to how things are likely to progress, but don't rule out them meeting again after next weekend, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. The ladies who we were speaking about at the top of the table, at the top of the podcast, they're out on the 25th. It's the Sunday, the 25th of June, and they're away to Waterford at 1:30 p.m. We will be previewing that, obviously, closer to the date. They've got a three-week break until that game, and they will be in bad need of a victory to get things going after everything that has happened in the last week and months, I suppose, with the Meath ladies. And then finally, the Meath footballers will be out on the weekend of the 17th or 18th. I presume it will be on the Saturday in the preliminary quarterfinal. Sorry. Will be in the quarterfinal of the Tailteann Cup against one of the preliminary winners. Now, Davey, there's an interesting thing about the quarterfinals is that you can't meet somebody from your group, from the group stages in the quarterfinals. So if Down and who else came through our group? Was it Laois?
No, just down. I don't think Tipperary.
Oh, yeah. Through. Tipperary and Waterford didn't go through. Neither of them went through because of their score difference. And Tipperary obviously getting the victory over Waterford, but because of their score difference, they didn't get through. So the only team that we can't meet in the quarterfinal from the preliminary quarterfinals is Down. So we've got three teams that we can pick from that. I was interestingly, it's actually Cavan who are in a bit of a predicament. They could actually meet Down because they'll have a 1-2 chance if both Laois and Offaly win their preliminary quarterfinals. Yeah. So there are some different conundrums and stuff like that and permutations and combinations that will not happen in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, so I think the likelihood is, and I was just looking at the draw actually last night, and the home teams to me look like they'll take beating the way the fixtures are structured. So I think Fermanagh, Offaly and Carlow to me would look like the kind of teams to progress, along with Down, obviously, who are playing New York, but we can't play Down. So that's why we were saying, like, it was crucial, A, to get a home quarterfinal, but B, to actually progress straight through, or else we could have been looking at a scenario where we would be playing Cavan in a quarterfinal or somebody like that. So, we have to play them all anyway. And I think the competition in earnest really gets going now. That the last few weeks has been grand, and, you know, it kind of eases your way back into it. But essentially now this is where things get going. Yes. It's the same in the other Ireland series as well.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Just on the preliminary quarterfinals, the preliminary quarterfinals are all taking place on Saturday next. It's Offaly against Wexford, Carlow against New York, Fermanagh against Laois, and Down against Longford. So they're the four fixtures. Meath won't be able to meet Down, but if Laois and Offaly were to win their games, Cavan wouldn't be able to face them. So it just narrows down the amount of teams that you will be able to play. So, I suppose just briefly on it, like, that win for me, it has to really be a boost of confidence for them, Davey.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the belief it'll give the supporters as well, maybe even the players, to be honest, which are coming through a tight game like that against Ulster opposition and a side in which you expect to be there or thereabouts come the latter stages of the competition. I know there wasn't a whole pile in it, but I just think for confidence as much as anything and morale of the group, that's such a huge win. And it was a lot more significant than just getting through to a quarterfinal and having a home game. Absolutely.
Yeah, there was more on this game than just that. But yeah, absolutely brilliant. We are so delighted for Colm and the lads. Brilliant victory. And as we said, they'll be out in the quarterfinal of the Tailteann Cup in a few weeks' time on either the 17th or 18th, presume it will be on the Saturday, and it'll be against one of those preliminary quarterfinal winners. Time to move on now, Davey, to our lottos. Have you had some of the PROs in contact with you, or have they all gone away for the bank holiday weekend?
I've had some of them, no, a little bit less than normally, but Obviously, our own one is still going strong. So I'll start there with Cortown. €14,500 last Friday night wasn't won. The numbers were 3, 6, 25 and 30. The €520 winners were Harry Keaton, Cara Gibbons, John Joe and Bridget Mackett, Dara Smith and Tanya Farley. The two tickets for the Christy Ring final went to Paul McGillick. And we have €14,600 up for grabs on next Friday night at CortownGA.com/lotto. Kilcullen Kill, their lotto from the 1st of June. The numbers were 3, 13, 29 and 30. They had no winner of their €4,950 jackpot or no match three winners, which means that they will roll on to €5,100 next week. Castletown are in next, and their results from the 31st of May, €3,800 of a jackpot not won, 8, 10, 17 and 23. The numbers, €30 lucky dip winners went to Greg Meehan, Eileen Clevenger, Brendan White, Sarah McMahon and Colin and Carmel. Manalvi from the 29th, which was last Monday, their numbers were 6, 10, 12 and 22. They had no jackpot winner, but they had three €20 winners who were Dennis O'Shea, Louise Smith and Linda Rooney. The next draw takes place on Monday, 5th of June, with €3,100 on offer at manalvigfc.ie, or you can play it on the Club Force app. Drumbarra, they had €1,700 of a jackpot last week, which wasn't won. 3, 15, 17 and 20, the numbers. €30 winners were Sophie and Rian Rogers, Niall Campbell, Mary Connolly, Harry Hart and Brona Callaghan. Kilmainham from the 29th also, they had no winner of their jackpot, which means next week's rolls on to €7,500. The numbers drawn last week were 14, 19, 22 and 25. Five lucky dip winners were Stephen Newman, Johnny Clark, Jeanette Collier, Woody, Lorraine, Sean and Lewis, each receiving €20. Navanomatis from last week, they had no jackpot winners. 6, 15, 25 and 26 match three winners were Caroline Gillespie, Pauline and Louise Riley. The next draw takes place on the 6th of June. They've got €10,400 up for grabs there. Dunshackle and Royal Gales from last Monday night, €7,600, 11, 15, 22 and 24. No jackpot winner. One match three winner, who was, of course, Andrew Smith, picked out by his father, which is gas. Well, I know Andy was on duty then for the Leinster final on Wednesday and did a really good job on that, by the way. So credit to him, but he collected €200 for matching three numbers. But it does mean that their draw on Tuesday night at 8:30 rolls on to €7,800. It's live on Facebook and you can play it on Club Force. And that is it for this week, Mickey, from me.
No bother. Nothing in from Central's team, but their lotto was €3,800. I'm not sure if it was won yet. Simonston's lotto, a draw on the 2nd of June. Last Friday, it was for 3,100. There was no winner. There was a number of lucky dip winners because there was no match three, so there was three of them. Michael and Joanne Brennan. That would be me and my sister. My mom put us down for the lotto, so we took a share of that. Michael Cantwell as well, another good Simonston man, and Noel Linus as well. So we're delighted with that one ourselves. Just going back in there, that was from Jelly. Next Friday night's lotto is €3,150. He said, I hope I'm not too late getting it in. The bank holiday would mess up your routine. And then finally he said, on soccer related matters, when are you coming to Oriel Park for a game with me, Davey or Mickey? So Davey, you do be down there quite often. In Oriel Park with the commentaries these days. Is it worth going down?
I actually haven't been to Oriel Park, would you believe?
Oh, you haven't done in Oriel Park?
The three or four games I've done for Dundalk have all been on the road, so it tends to be in Dublin, but yeah, I'm sure it's worth the trip, particularly if Jelly's going to treat you.
Yeah, absolutely. If he's going to drive as well, I might go down. The Kilmainham Wood Lotto results for last week, the 29th of May, 9, 13, 18 and 23 were the numbers. There was no jackpot winner. There was five lucky dip winners, each receiving €20. Mary Farley, Eden, Noel Lynch, Enda Farley, Danielle Murray-Bennett, Alex Ella and Ross Armstrong all picking up €20. Next week's lotto is a massive €5,000. Damien Farley also said to me, in a message. He said he's looking forward to Kilmainham Wood against Simonstown's B team on Thursday night, ... I remember when that fixture used to be a senior quarter final. So, and then the vomiting face, it makes him sick to think that Kilmainham Wood are not up there anymore. I hear you, Damien. Absolutely. Like when I was growing up, Kilmainham Wood were one of the big hitters in Meath football, and it's disappointing to see us down so low now. But you as well make your way back up through the ranks. It's all swings and roundabouts, isn't that what they say, Davey?
Yeah, I hope so, Mickey. Absolutely. We'll move on to Insta, will we?
You go for it.
First up is from Shane Riley, and he said impact from the bench was key against Down.
It really was, and it's funny because it's been a trend with this team that the bench have always made an impact coming on. And that's what you want to see from your bench. Like, you know, it's their job.
Yeah, absolutely. It is funny, though, and it's something that Colm references quite a bit, too, that he often says that we probably finished with a stronger team than we started with, which is interesting.
He used to always say that to me when I was a sub.
Yeah. Maybe that's the party line to keep everybody happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. But listen, once they're contributing, that's absolutely what
you
want.
4 points from the bench. 4 points.
Yeah, Jack Flynn and Dahi McGowan, you know, in particular, I thought were two very important subs in that second half. Zach Griffin said that Sean Cleary scoring a headed goal in Retoath before his last game heading to the Big Apple. So obviously Sean is off and marked it with a nice headed goal against Retoath.
Was it in GAA? Yeah. I remember one time playing under 15s against Dunboyne, and we actually played in St. Paul's pitch against Dunboyne, and the long ball over the top, and it was on the ground, and John Lunny, who I used to school with and play football with, a good friend of mine from back in the day, he was making a run into the box and the ball was near the end line and he was calling for me to cross it. So I crossed it with my left foot and he came in, diving header. He got in so much trouble over it.
Did it finish in the net?
Oh, yeah. Bang in the net, right in the top corner. Like,
was Colm the manager then? No.
No, he wasn't the manager, but he got in trouble for it. He went to put his hands out to catch it, took his hands away and just nodded it into the top corner. Absolute peach of a goal. But a lot of people weren't too happy about it.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
One man who is happy is Neil McCann, and he said, finally, a positive performance with high work rate and off the shoulder running. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we said it's going to take time. And Fergal Lynch mentioned it in the match day diary. Meath do tend to lift their game for the bigger teams. And they really did, you know. And are we starting to see his style of play? Maybe that could be the thing.
Yeah. Philly O'Brien said Ennis save in the first half. Yeah, I actually had this in my notes. 6 minute Mickey from Corey O'Reilly was a huge save. Really, really good save. And we know now how important it was after all was said and done.
In the hurling.
In the hurling, yeah.
Yeah. Who saved it?
Ennis, Charlie Ennis.
Oh, it was Charlie Ennis. All right, okay. Yeah. Right, savage stuff.
Shane Mangan wants to know, where is the Jack Regan statue going up?
Where is it going to go, Davey? Like, because Jesus Christ, the man is a machine.
Unbelievable. Yeah, absolutely unbelievable. 13 points from him and clutch scores, really. He was absolutely outstanding. And he obviously had a tough couple of weeks as well, with his aunt particularly ill at the moment. So it wasn't easy for him, but what a performance he turned in. Absolutely incredible from him. Joe McGuinney said, much better defensive performance with hunger and smart modern football. Yeah. I think that's in reference to the way in which the Meath footballers seen the game out. I think as well as
so clever. Yeah. There's one particular play that I will be talking about over on our Loyal Royals Patreon service, because it was just, I was watching it and I just went, that was absolutely class, a passage of play towards the end. But yeah, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. They stepped up and they stood up to down, and that's what we wanted to see.
Robert Purfield said that keep ball at the end of the down game was key.
Yeah, I think you just have to reference what I bought about. Yeah, definitely. It was reminiscent of the ladies against Armagh last year, when they had the ball in the left corner, right corner back position.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And went
yeah.
up, and it ended up at the exact same spot up the other end of the field. It was yeah. brilliant.
Deck F. Dunn says an improved performance versus down.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, the first time we came up against what would be perceived to be a big hitter, and we were able to match them, which was brilliant.
Ian Rush says Aaron Lynch kept quiet on a good marker.
Yeah, but what like, that was a point that I was going to make as well, was that, you know, he was kept quiet, but other lads stood up to the mark, you know, and Jordy Morris kicking 1-3 then, you know, like, that's it's so key to have more than one marquee forward, because if Aaron is doubled up, like, obviously they looked at the last couple of results and what Aaron Lynch has scored, so they put their best marker in Aaron, which meant it freed up Jordy.
Yeah, 100%. Huey Corcoran says Tom Shine making the most out of the Badgers Instagram live last night. Hashtag Tom's a big head. Yeah, I actually seen this. I think I came out of the Jackson Lenehan's, and I think it was Tom Shine and Mickey Burke that were going live on Instagram. Didn't get involved in it. Now I kept clear myself, but it looked like good crack, to be fair.
I'm well deserved, and like, really bright future ahead of Tom Shine and his brother. There's no doubt about that, minus the pun there. But they'll probably be back as well this week for Ballinlock, which is going to be something formidable, getting three players back, the two Shines and Shawnee Geraghty, and all those dual stars will be back with their clubs this week. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, they might be shook enough to come Tuesday night, but we'll see. Yeah, hopefully by the following week, yeah, they'll definitely be back in earnest. Henry Clifford said Nelson gone.
Yeah, again, spoke about that at the top of the podcast. It's just, I think it's devastating. I think it's silly. Anyways,
Gary McGovern said Davy Nelson voted out.
Yeah, what do you think, Davy?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah, just, what do you want to say? Like,
I know, like, I don't, like, it sounds like that was the case. And that Davey had no option but to kind of resign as such. But yeah, very disappointing. Sorry, where were we? Colin O'Brien wants to know who has a Munster final City Terrace ticket for me. Very specific there from Colin.
Yeah. Did you have a seat number in mind as well, Colin? he was on to me during the week looking to see if he could get a press pass to get into the Munster final. Look, Colin, we put it out there. Anybody got a ticket for the Munster Hurling final, get in contact with Colin O'Brien.
Yeah. Flex Print Co. said big impact from Flynn. Half and full backs working like peanut butter and jelly for a good stint.
I like that. That's a nice thanks. Way of putting it. Jack Flynn, look, coming back, he was out with injury for a number of weeks there, and was brilliant coming back into the team. And Dahi McGowan as well, showed up really well from our Pope in that second half. So, yeah, look, lots of positives.
Yeah, Finn Hanratty said improvement needed if we are to win the Tailteann.
Absolutely, but like, you know, you can only beat what's in front of you. There's all these cliches you can use, but you need to be peaking towards the end of this competition. And they are starting to, from what I saw of the game, I thought that there was a plan in place, that the players executed the plan. There was a style of play. And maybe by the end of this Tailteann Cup, we'll have perfected it. And if you were to peak in a semi-final and final, isn't that what you want?
Yeah, yeah, very much so. Joseph Shepherd Brady said Wolf Tone untouchable in Gweedore.
Yeah, picking up the Comórtas Pell na Gaeltacht, the trophy once again. Brilliant for them, and it'll be interesting to see what that does for their confidence going forward now in the league and championship for the summer.
Robert Perfield said Jack Regan could hit a midges aubergine, I'm going to say, because you've just put in an emoji or a thing from 50 metres. He could hit it from a lot further. He hit a free from about 80, 85 metres in the first half over the bar. It was an incredible score. But yeah, hard to argue with that.
Yeah, yeah, he's accurate, let's just say.
Yeah. And the last one was sent in by a clubmate of mine, Tommy Smith, and one of the more unusual ones because he shared an image with me and he just said the new Meath ladies manager, and it's a picture of George Plunkett behind the bar in the Blackwater Inn with a big smile on his face. So
breaking news. George Plunkett, the new Meath ladies manager. You heard it here first folks. Yeah, George, I saw that picture, really good big smile on George's face. I wonder when that was taken. Was it taken over the bank holiday?
It was taken on Sunday night, yes.
Very good, very good, very good. Well, hello to George and Patricia down there, and anybody down in Kells, get in and say hello to them. Good GA people, but I don't think George is going to take the Meath ladies, Stevie. Do you?
No, I don't think so. I think he's better off where he is for the time being.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's it from Instagram Interactive. That's it from this episode of your We Are Meath podcast. We're going to go because we've got to get through an awful lot of stuff to make sure that all our listeners are kept happy during the week. Well, that's it from this episode of your We Are Meath podcast. We Are Meath by Matters More.